fake crises. Yes, you heard me. Fake crisis. It's a fake crisis. The entire nation is consumed with a completely fake crisis. Republicans, Republican terrorists holding the country hostage to their fake, completely phony, entirely made up crisis that everybody in this nation has to give a damn about because they say so and because they don't give a damn about this country. Hey, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Truth Seekers. It is I, Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow from bradblog.com. Once again, drafted into duty here to be the broadcast media, because God knows someone needs to. Anyway, broadcasting live tonight from the left coast of beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150 out here in Los Angeles. Glad you could join us. Mike Malloy is, off the grid. He's not off the grid, but he's winging his way out towards Seattle, or will be soon, where he'll be participating in a Progressive Voices conference with a bunch of other Progressive Radio folks. I think Randy Rhodes is going. Is Stephanie going, Tone? Do you know? You're not working on her show this week, right? So then she's probably here. Okay. So Stephanie's not invited. There you go. Anyway, I'm going to be with you here tonight, tomorrow night, and Monday night. And I hope that's okay with you. I hope it's okay with me. Given the day that I had, you can tell by just the opening. Oh, I'm a little, I don't know how to put it. I'm a little angry. Maybe I'll tell you why in a moment. I will be joined, as I was saying about the debt crisis, we have to talk about it. Who wants to? I don't, because it's fake, it's phony, but we have to talk about it. And to that end, I'm told we're going to have a scoop on this, some breaking news shortly when I am joined by Howie Klein from Down With Tyranny. He's going to be joining us, and I will be taking your calls, if I can, throughout that conversation with Howie and for the rest of the night. So jot this down, because you're going to want it today, tomorrow, Monday, to use your public airwaves before you lose them more than you already have. 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. Write it down and keep it nearby, and I would like to hear from you. And by the way, this is the one time for you right wingers out there. I know that Mike doesn't like to hear from you. He doesn't like to talk to the flying monkeys. I loves me some flying monkeys. So fly on in anytime you like, right wingers, and we'll see how much we can tolerate you. Although, you know, the thing is, if we continue the direction this country is going, where everybody goes to, you know, pick a side. You go to the left, go to the right. There ain't no in-between. There ain't no talking between the two parties. We're going to get nowhere. This is going to get worse. This is going to get insane, as if it is not already. So to that end, I do enjoy hearing from folks on the right, because so many of them are so terribly misinformed. I always try to do my best, as folks know who have heard me sitting in for Mike Malloy before, I always try to do my best to inform the listeners and to inform the confused callers. So it's not confused. To inform the misinformed callers. So if you are a misinformed right-wing caller and you think you are a informed right-wing caller, of course, feel free to call in, 877-520-1150. Not right this moment, because I got some business to get out of the way, and we're going to have Howie here, who let me know. He sent me an email just before showtime saying that he's got some breaking news. And if it doesn't get out before quarter after, we'll be able to break it here right here on the Mike Malloy Show. He had heard from a congressman. I don't know if I'm allowed to say who it was, so we'll find out, with some breaking news concerning this fake debt ceiling crisis. Okay, there you go. That's going to come up straight ahead after the next break. We will have Howie on. We will find out what that big news is. You can also stop by. Oh, wait a minute. It's not that big of a scoop. Oh, it's not that big of a scoop, says Howie. And it's very inside baseball. That's what he tweets to me. Oh, great. Thanks, Howie. now that you made me go. Okay, so we've got a lousy scoop coming up, and it's very inside baseball, so nobody here is going to understand it. But you can look forward to that coming up with Howie Klein shortly. You can also stop by our chat room at bradblog.com, where our friend For Earth is currently holding the gate open for all of you folks. Come on by. Go to bradblog.com. The first item there, there's a chat room. Well, you click through it, and you'll get to the chat room and come say hello. The lovely Desi Doyen will also be in that chat room once she wrestles her computer to the ground, I think. So you can say hello to her there. She may be joining us later as well on this program. Also, we'll be joined by Eric Bullard, because you know what? Rupert Murdoch is still not dead. Let me repeat that. Rupert Murdoch is still not dead. That despite what you might have read on his own newspaper's website, The Sun, which said Rupert Murdoch, his body was found, Mogul's body was found. Well, that was not true. And while we're used to Rupert Murdoch's websites printing things that are not true, in this case, it wasn't his fault. It was hackers. Hackers took over The Sun and said that Rupert Murdoch was found dead. But that's not true. What is true, however, is that the whistleblower at the center of the News of the World hacking scandal, he was found dead. Tony's looking at me. He's like, yeah. This is right. You know, it's as if somebody knew I was coming on the Mike Malloy show. Oh, let's have a whistleblower die. Brad's coming on. So the whistleblower was found dead in his London flat earlier this week. The man who first exposed the hacking that was going on at the News of the World. In any case, we're going to be talking about that and the ensuing Murdocalypse, or shall we say, News Corpse. With Eric Bullard of Media Matters a little bit later. Actually, I prefer the hashtag that I like that nobody's going to understand on Twitter. Karmageddon. Does it make any sense to you, Tom? You don't get it? No. All right. Never mind. You can reach me on the Twitters, too, at TheBradBlog. That's who I am over there. Okay, have I gotten all the business out of the way? I must have. I'll tell you, the reason I started off this show ranting. I'm going to try to get it out of my system because, A, I am exhausted. I was up until 3 a.m. working on the second part of a series of exclusives that I've been working on for weeks that I can't tell you about yet. But trust me, they're hot, hot exclusives coming your way as soon as possible, but maybe now a little bit later because I was up until 3 a.m. working on this thing. This part of the series, of this article was a 5,000-word article, and somehow in my exhaustion I managed to save over it, and it went away. Which is what I learned about an hour or two before showtime. And I'm absolutely heartbroken and sad and angry. And frankly, tonight, if I don't shout, I may cry. So we will start from scratch on that at some point, and you will get to see this very hot exclusive. And unlike Howie Klein, who had a big scoop, and then he says, oh, it's not that big. Well, this one is a big scoop. But now you're just going to have to wait for it. So I'm going to tease you like that. And maybe I'll give you some more hints as the show goes on, or maybe tomorrow. Who knows? Tune in. Find out. Okay. I'm not happy about it. Did I mention that? Okay. We'll see, though. Maybe if the gods are with us, and why would they be? I'll have part one of this hot exclusive for you by next Monday. When I'll be finishing up here on the Malloy Show. We'll see. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Howie Klein. We're going to get his not that big of a scoop, and it's very inside baseball. And then we're going to find out just how far these Republicans are willing to go, these terrorists are willing to go. You know, I want to tell them, do it. Do it. You want to destroy this country? You want to take down everything? So that you can gain power, because you think this is going to help you gain power. You know what? I'd love to tell them, do it. Go for it. Make my day. Idiots. I have a feeling it's going to be a big show. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Stay tuned. Much more straight ahead. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. The boys are- Well done, Tony. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Yeah, that's where I am. Welcome back. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for the traveling Mike Malloy. Glad you could join us. Howie Klein is going to be joining us momentarily here, and the phones are already starting to fill up concerning debt, this phony debt ceiling fake crisis. So if you want to get in line to talk to Howie Klein, who I think, when I need to know something about Congress, when I need to know what people are thinking, what's going on inside Congress, the guy who knows more about the ins and outs of what these congressmen are thinking and women are thinking, I go to Howie Klein. 877-520-1150 is our number. I already see we got somebody who may be a right-winger, because waiting online, who says he's mad at Grover Norquist. That'll be interesting. So, Ray from Ohio, hang on the line. We're going to get to you one way or to other, probably after the next break, concerning this comment from Grover Norquist, which we do have on tape, which is very interesting, and I suspect I will talk to Howie about that as well, who now joins me. Howie Klein from DownWithTyranny.com to tell me what the hell is going on in D.C. with this fake debt ceiling crisis, because frankly I can't stand to watch it. Even if I wasn't exhausted and working on something that matters, I still wouldn't want to watch it. But anyway, let's find out. Hey, Howie, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show,
sir. Good to be back. In fact, I just came back from Nepal, so really good to be back.
Oh, really? How long ago was that? How long were you?
I've just been back for about a week.
And okay.
I'm more caught up with myself. No more jet lag and feeling great.
Good, good. Well, welcome back. Glad you made it back safely. And glad you've been able to follow this stuff, because I also, by the way, was off for a few days in the mountains last week. Thought I might have missed something important. Came back and found out, you know what, the same crap is going on. So first, should we hit this not very big scoop that you have told us is not very big?
What I said, it was a mini scoop, and it is a mini scoop.
Okay.
But people who follow this stuff, it might be a big deal. I don't mean to tease anybody, but I'll explain it in a second.
Okay.
You really hit the nail on the head when you defined this whole thing as the fake man-made crisis. That's really what it is. And it really has to do with the horror of our political elites. I mean, the Republicans are acting like, you know, like spoiled brats. If they can't get their way, they'd rather burn down the whole house.
Yep.
And Obama is I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to come across as the adult in the room. Whether he is trying to be the adult in the room, I don't know. I literally don't know. Now, you said you don't want to watch this, and yesterday, if you would have watched it, literally watched it on CNBC, you would have seen the two sides of the way to look at this. One was Ed Schultz, who is as angry about this as you and I are, and he was just going. He's on the verge of just, like, you know, really becoming an Obama hater if he hasn't already crossed into that.
Right.
And he was just, you know, tearing Obama apart. You know, why are you putting Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid on the table with these crazy Republicans? And he was just going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And then
as well he should be, by the way,
was talked to by the same person from the administration who talked to me. One of my friends who works in the administration gave me a call, and he said, "Don't go crazy on this, because I can't tell you all the reasons, but Obama is not going to get behind this stuff." Now, if you watched Lawrence O'Donnell, and mm-hmm. I put the video of him talking about it on my blog today, he says that Obama knew all along that the Republicans would never go for a reasonable plan that included tax increases, and that he knew he was in no danger of ever having to do anything that was going to jeopardize Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid.
Did you believe
that or not?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't even know if I can believe it or not. I mean, you know, I hear Bernie Sanders, and I know I can believe Bernie Sanders, and Bernie Sanders seems to have had it up to here with Obama, and he's going nuts on it. Now,
Howie, hang on a second. So you have all of these progressive folks in Congress, Bernie Sanders and so forth, saying that they are furious at the president, and then you got Lawrence O'Donnell saying, "Oh, the President Obama knows exactly what he's doing. This has been the game all along. He's essentially calling their bluff." Is that what we're saying here?
Yeah, something like that. And I mean, the progressives in Congress aren't ready to denounce President Obama. None of them are doing that. You know, I mean, Kucinich came close, but he isn't there yet either. But Ed Schultz is not in Congress, and he's been a little bit closer. And it was just ironic that, you know, they were practically back-to-back last night with their different interpretations mm-hmm. of it on MSNBC. Now, what the Progressive Caucus did, the two leaders of the caucus, Raul Grijalva and Keith Ellison, is they wrote a letter to Nancy Pelosi. And they wrote it about a week and a half ago, and it's now got. And we're coming close to the scoop, by the way.
Well, you know what? You're going to have to
coming close to the mini scoop.
Yeah, and it's coming
the
close to the break.
Not a mini scoop.
Coming, Howie, yeah. Hang on. It's coming close to a break as well. So I think we're going to have to tease that mini scoop just a little bit longer, unless you got 15 seconds of setup before we go to a break. Up to you.
Okay. Well, the letter itself is a letter to Nancy Pelosi, and it says that the undersigned will not vote for this deal, this gang of six deal that jeopardizes Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
Is that the scoop?
No, that you told me to tease it.
Okay, good tease then. you're getting to be good at this, Howie. All right, Howie Klein from DownWithTyranny.com with a mini scoop on the debt ceiling concerning this letter to Grijalva and all kinds of other stuff. Coming up right after that, Brad on Mike Malloy. As you can tell, we're playing really good showdown music to underscore this really fake debt ceiling crisis that the Republicans are forcing the nation to go through, because apparently these Republicans hate the nation, and they think that this is a smart thing to do politically or something. Anyway, I don't know. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, speaking with Howie Klein of Down With Tyranny with what he calls a mini scoop concerning the upcoming or the ongoing fake debt ceiling crisis that is going on. Okay, Howie. Oh, and by the way, if you're on the lines, hang on there. We will be talking about this Grover Norquist comment, which is, I think, pretty remarkable and actually could change the whole texture for this fake fight, but we'll talk about that in a moment. All right, so we've got Howie Klein from DownWithTyranny.com. Before we went to the break, he said that Raul Grijalva of Arizona, congressman from Arizona, and a couple of others.
Keith Ellison,
good, from Minnesota, sent a letter last week to Nancy Pelosi, Speaker Nancy Pelosi, correct?
Yes, and okay. the letter basically said, you know, that they agree with Pelosi when she said, we are not going to balance the budget on the backs of America's seniors, women, and people with disabilities, and that we do not support cuts in benefits for vital safety net programs.
Mm-hmm.
We completely agree. That's a paragraph in the letter. They then go on to say that they will not vote for any grand bargain that includes cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and that must be off the table. The as of today, as of about an hour ago, they had 80 Democrats, including one Blue Dog, who signed on to this to this letter. So there are 80 people who will not vote for say they will not vote for Obama's grand bargain.
Now, it
includes those kinds of cuts.
Now, will that mean, by the way, that if those 80 stick to that, what are the numbers like? Are there still more than enough?
With the Republicans who won't vote for it, the teabaggers,
right?
That's going to put it's going to make it very, very, very difficult for Obama, if not impossible. Now, if it just stayed at 80, and here now we get into that little mini scoop. If it just stayed at 80, it might not do the trick.
Mm-hmm.
However, it is going to go beyond 80, and that's I mean, it did. I mean, today when I woke up, it was at like 77.
Right.
And then, you know, a couple Dale Kilday came in, and then that new guy from New Orleans who just got elected, he came in, so that brought it to 80. However, and here's what you've been calling the scoop.
Right.
But I said called a mini scoop.
All right. Okay, it's a mini scoop. All right.
The head of the Congressional Black Caucus mm-hmm. and the head of the Asia-Pacific America Caucus mm. have both agreed this evening to sign on as representatives of their caucuses and have promised that they will whip their rank-and-file members and try to get them to all sign on as well. That's going to be worth some more votes, probably quite a few more votes.
How many, as a best guess then, how many votes will that mean from those two caucuses?
I suspect it'll go over 100.
So it goes over 100 who say they will not, Democrats who say they will not balance the budget on the backs of the poor, they will not make cuts or substantial cuts to Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security.
They will not make cuts to it. Now, that doesn't mean that they're against changes. I mean,
right.
almost every one of the ones I speak to says they're enthusiastic about changes. They want changes to strengthen it. They want changes to make it a better program. But they don't want to see our cutbacks to recipients who are dependent on this stuff for their lives. I mean, Bernie Sanders has been the most outspoken person and the most eloquent in explaining that, and he does it almost every day on someone's TV show or radio show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do not want to see people, elderly, and the most vulnerable people in our society wind up, you know, because, you know, to these wealthy people who, I mean, they're almost half the members of Congress are millionaires, and to them they think, well, what's $1,000 a year? It's nothing. But to someone who's struggling
sure.
and getting by in their later years where they're not going to be investing money in the future
uh-huh.
and they're not going to be finding a job in the future, people who are 80 years old, and they're eking out a living at $15,000 or $16,000 a year, you take away $1,000
sure.
from them, that's a lot of money.
Of course it is. So what
but you're not gonna get these Republican or Democratic millionaires to understand that. They don't get that. And that's my whole premise that I've been trying to talk about it down with tyranny all the time, is that our whole political system is run by these elites that are just so out of touch with America that I just don't know how we're going to get rid of them and how we're going to we almost have to get rid of them and start all over again, because I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican, it is just a mess now. The Republican Party is entirely over the cliff. The Democratic Party is rapidly following them over the cliff. They these people, I mean, even Obama, we had so much hope for this guy, even those of us who knew that his voting record was very conservative as a Democrat. We had so much hope that he was going to be an inspiring figure, and people were saying, oh, he's going to be like the next FDR and things like that. Well, no, he was like the next Hoover. If you know, I don't want to get in a fight with a bunch of Obama bots now. But
well, yeah, and don't get me started as well for the moment on Obama. But let me just, Howie Klein, do these numbers here real quick. So you got...
It's hard to do the numbers because we don't know how many over 100 it's going to be.
No, I understand, but let me...
is putting the hammer down with Wall
okay.
Street. They brought in a bunch of Wall Street big shots, financiers, to the Hill to talk to the Republican freshmen, i.e. the teabaggers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically telling them, you know, they're trying to say, you know, you're going to throw the economy over the cliff, and we're going to, you know, crash the economy. It's going to be irretrievable. And they're telling them this, and they're threatening that they're not going to finance them, and they're threatening them in every way that they can. So we don't know how many of these Republicans are going to stick to their guns and oppose this deal, and we don't know how many above 100 Grijalva and Ellison are going to be able to bring in.
Well, that's what I wanted to say. Well, we've got let's call it for now 100 who say they won't vote for the type of cuts that Obama has been saying that he would like to include here. Whether he means it or not, we don't know. But so you got about 100 or so there,
and we have 80, and the Republicans claim they have 80.
That's what I was going to say. On the other side, it's 80. So to thread that needle, it's not just Obama that needs to do it. It's Boehner that needs to do it to get enough votes. And then all of this has to somehow be approved over in the Senate, where a single person can hold up the entire damn thing with a filibuster, you know, requiring a supermajority to put it down. This seems to me to be an impossible needle to thread at this point, bringing us to, just nothing more. Two choices, Howie. Either one, they just do a clean vote to raise the debt ceiling the way they have. The way they have year after year after year, the way they did seven different times during the Bush administration when Republicans didn't give a damn, you know, back before they decided they were the terrorists who needed to take down the country. Or Nothing happens. And we do have the collapse that, you know, legitimate people are predicting. So one of the other...
$2.5 billion was taken out of the stock market this week by people basically who are afraid that a collapse is coming and they'll lose their investments.
Now, Grover Norquist sort of threw a potential lifeline to some of these Republicans, I think. Howie, have you heard this tape yet? I'm going to play it here real quick.
I read it. I didn't hear
okay.
it.
Okay. Yeah, Grover Norquist, and he's the guy who actually, you know, speaking of holding people hostage, he's held every single Republican virtually in both chambers hostage to this tax pledge that they have signed, this anti-tax pledge that includes not just raising taxes, but, you know, if you take a subsidy, if you take millions of dollars away from an oil company, that, in Grover Norquist's mind, is raising taxes.
He used to say that.
He has been saying that, has he not? Until today. Okay, right. Until today. So, you know, virtually every Republican has said that. No, we can't take away a subsidy because that's a raising a tax. We can't let the Bush tax cuts expire because that's raising a tax. You can't, close the corporate loophole because that's raising a tax. However, in a meeting with the Washington Post editorial board today, Grover Norquist said, and it's quite surprising, actually, that letting the Bush tax cuts expire, which, by the way, if you let them expire, it pretty much wipes out our deficit entirely, that letting the deficit, the Bush tax cuts expire would not be considered a broken tax pledge like the ones the Republicans have signed at Grover's bequest.
180-degree switcheroo for Grover.
Huge. Let me play this. This is edited down to about a minute here to give you an idea. This is Grover Norquist answering this question directly with the Washington Post.
Not continuing a tax cut is not technically a tax increase.
So it does not violate the pledge?
We wouldn't hold it that way. A lot of the guys on the Hill do.
Oh, we just solved the problem.
Bulletin!
Obama can raise taxes on the rich. He's free.
Right. Here's the thing. You can... That's not going to get these guys off the hook because they want... the House and Senate guys' view is that is a tax increase.
But that, isn't that just because they're convinced that you're going to, like... I'm trying not to use an unpalatable phrase, that you would just pillory them. Thank you.
Yeah.
But, so you're saying that if candidate Romney were to come out tomorrow and say, you know, I've been listening to this debate, and I'm a serious business guy, you know, I know how to read a balance sheet, and so here's the deal. We are, in fact, going to have to let, in order to get our country on a sustainable fiscal path, we are going to have to let all the Bush tax cuts lapse, and people like me call you up and, you know, toss you what we think is going to be a softball and say, Grover, would you like to denounce him for violating the pledge?
I would denounce him as a tax increaser and a bad guy. I would not technically violate the pledge.
The ethanol.
There's a difference, but it would be a very bad thing to do. Mm-hmm. It would raise taxes from where they are today. Mm-hmm. Would it technically violate the pledge? No.
So, Verblen over in the Bradblog.com chat room said that Grover Norquist has already walked back those comments. He walked back those comments in the middle of the comments, right? He said, "Oh, I would decry them. I would say he's a bad guy, but it wouldn't be a broken pledge." That seems to me to be enough of a lifeline that some of these Republicans can now do it and say, "Well, let the tax cuts, the Bush tax cuts expire, and I won't have broken my pledge." Right, Howie Klein?
Well, they can say that, and they won't have broken the pledge, but they'll still have Grover Norquist, a very, very corrupt and deceitful individual, as an enemy, supposedly.
Yes, but he owns them.
He's caught up in the Abramoff scandal.
Yeah.
Everyone, and I mean everyone inside the Beltway, knows he's a closet case. He doesn't hide it from the village. They see him walking around with his boyfriend all the time. But no one ever talks about that in the media. Never.
Okay, hang on a second, Howie, because I gotta take a quick break here. We're gonna come back and take some calls from Ray, who's been hanging on. Thanks, Ray, because he's mad at Grover Norquist, and we will find out why. We'll also talk to Mark in San Francisco about Norquist. We're speaking with Howie Klein, who has just gone and outed poor Grover Norquist.
Everyone knows.
They do? They do now, Howie.
We're in Washington.
Thanks to you. Yeah, well, we're not in Washington, Howie, so Way to go.
We've got the information that the insiders have.
Well, here's the thing. He's my boyfriend. So now you've outed me, too. Howie Klein from DownWithTyranny.com. Your call's coming up right after this break. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. Stay tuned. Malloy Show, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, in for Mike Malloy. You have come to the right place. I'm speaking with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com. I have just a few minutes left here. We're going to be joined by Eric Bollert at the top of the next hour. So let me get, we were talking about the phony debt ceiling crisis where the Republicans are holding everybody hostage for no good reason. And Grover Norquist, who seems to have released people from the pledge a little bit, his anti-tax pledge, by saying that letting the tax cuts expire, the Bush tax cuts expire, would not be a violation of that pledge. And Ray in Galleon, Ohio, has some thoughts on that. Hey, Ray, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hello, Mike.
No, this is Brad, Brad Friedman. Mike Malloy is off, but that's okay.
Hi, I'm Brad.
Hey.
All right. Well, I have one question real quick for you. Who elected? What's his name?
I don't know, Ray.
Grover Norquist.
Well,
who elected Grover?
Norquist.
Yeah.
Norquist.
Nobody elected him.
What state does he represent?
No state at all.
State of insanity.
There you go.
No. He does. He does represent every state with a Republican and a Tea Party representative.
That's right. That's right.
That is who he represents.
Well, that's who he thinks he represents, but
that's who he represents.
Yeah. Okay.
And what is he representing?
I don't know. You tell me, Ray. What's he representing?
Well, what he's.
Okay. Oh, okay. Do you get it? All right. Let's go to Mark in. Let me go. Here we go. Mark in San Francisco. Welcome to the Malloy Show, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, Grover Norquist.
Yep.
I mean, basically, he's the big problem in this country. He will not raise taxes or allow anybody in the Republican Party to raise taxes. He wants to squeeze the middle class till there's no more of it.
He has,
I don't know who's funding him, what companies are funding him, or what corporations. But we need to go after those corporations that are behind this, because this guy needs to be marginalized. And apparently, our president doesn't have enough guts to stop him. And if we don't stop him, we're all going to go right down the sewer.
He can't be. Thanks for the call, Mark. And I'm up against the clock, so I don't mean to cut you off. But he can't be stopped. Look, he's got a principle that he believes in. And these congressmen and senators and so forth were dumb enough to sign the pledge. I don't think there's anything wrong, frankly, with what he's doing. This is something that he believes in. What ticks me off is the idiots who would sign into this to the point that they would hold this country hostage because they've signed some pledge written by some jackass. Do I have it wrong, Howie Klein? Should I be angry?
Exactly right. And if you recall, last month, Tom Colburn, who's not even a conservative, he's a reactionary, basically told Grover Norquist to shove it, and said that but then he got scared and backed away. But he seemed that he was going to lead the Senate Republicans away from this pledge, and then got scared.
Well, they are scared to death of him, and what he loves to, Grover Norquist, loves to point back to a George Bush Sr. who had signed the pledge, and then he ended up raising taxes, and oh, look what we did to George Bush Sr. I mean, it's like parading around with a head on a pike, and a threat. If you do this, we will do the same thing to you. What the hell are these Congress people signing a pledge, promising their fealty to Grover Norquist and his pledge, rather than their fealty to defending the Constitution and this nation? It is unbelievable to me, but that's what they have done.
Grover Norquist was complicit in stealing millions of dollars from American Indian tribes, along with Jack Abramoff. And when the Republicans had a chance to throw him in jail, yeah, or to at least put him on trial, and probably throw, if they wanted, they could have made sure he wound up in jail just by following the evidence. They let him off. They let him go, and now they're reaping what they sowed.
Well, yeah, and you know what? And if he did a crime, he committed a crime, he should be thrown in jail. If he has a point of view that he doesn't think taxes should be raised, I have no problem with
him.
That's not
why he should be in jail.
No.
He should be in jail because he was a criminal.
Yeah. Well, but he's got these people by the short hairs, and they are still in his thrall, and they're willing to take the country down with it. It's absolutely remarkable. Hey, Howie, thanks for jumping in here with me today. We may be talking before this is all over some more. Really appreciate it, my friend.
My pleasure. I had a good time. I wanted to talk about a couple of congressional races, but we'll do that next time.
We will do it next time. I promise you. Thanks, man. Really appreciate it. Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com. Eric Bollert is coming up next from Media Matters. We're going to talk Murdocalypse and maybe some James O'Keefe. Sorry. Brad in for Mike Malloy.